بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-mahmood bi sifat al-kamal, the one who is described and qualified with all the perfect attributes. I bear witness that is no true God worthy of being worshipped except Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's slave and messenger. We continue with the stories of the prophets and the benefits in their stories, and we have finished so far up till the last one was Surah the Prophet Shu'aib alayhi salam, and then inshallah tonight we will start with the story of Musa and Harun and his brother Harun. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salah and salam be upon both of them and all the messengers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Musa ibn Imran and his brother Harun alayhim as-salam in many places in the Quran, and narrated to us their stories through different styles and through different ways, sometimes with brevity in some chapters and sometimes with details in other chapters as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sought that to be fit. And there is no greater story in the Quran than that of Musa alayhi salam, because he dealt with Fir'aun, the tyrant Fir'aun and his armies, and also he encountered the problems of Bani Israel, the children of Israel, intensely. And he is one of the greatest prophets of the children of Israel, and his Sharia and his book is At-Tawrah, is a Torah which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had wrote to Musa by his own hand subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is the reference for Anbiya Bani Israel, for the prophets of the children of Israel and their scholars and their and his followers and their followers, meaning and the followers of Musa and their and the followers of the prophets of Bani Israel, and they are the children of Bani Israel who followed their prophets were believers. Those who followed their prophets were believers, who believed in the message in Musa also were believers. Also he was qualified with a great power in establishing the deen of Allah and calling to it, and being also jealous in the good way for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something which was that Musa qualified with. And he was born, as you have heard now from the story in Surah Al-Qasas, which is chapter 28, he was born at a time when Fir'aun and his people were having intense punishment and harm inflicted upon Bani Israel. So he, Fir'aun, used as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described him, exalted himself in the land. Inna Fir'auna ala fil ardi wa ja'ala ahlaha shi'a yastad'ifu ta'ifatan minhum yudabbihu abna'ahum wa yastahyi nisa'ahum innahu kana minal mufsidin. Indeed, Fir'aun exalted himself in the land and made its people sects, weakening and oppressing a group, that is the children of Israel among them, killing their sons and letting their females live. Verily, he was from the mufsideen, those who commit great sin and crimes and tyranny on earth. That was the time when Musa alayhi salam was born. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed a favor in the birth of Musa alayhi salam and in his story, a favor on the children of Israel and all those who were in a weak and oppressed state in the land. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Qasas in chapter 28 verse 5, وَنُرِيدُ أَنَّ مُنَّ عَلَى الَّذِينَ اصْتُضْعِفُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and we wish to do a favor for those who were weak and oppressed in the land. وَنَجْعَلَهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَنَجْعَلَهُمُ الْوَارِثِينَ, and to make them rulers and to make them the inheritors. Not only that, وَنُمَكِّنَ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ, and to establish them in the land. And also to give lessons for Fir'aun and his people. وَنُرِيَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَهَامَانَ وَجُنُودَهُمَا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَحْذَرُونَ, and to establish them in the land, and we let Fir'aun and Haman and their hosts receive from them that which they feared. نعم. So when his mother gave birth to Musa عليه السلام under these circumstances, she was definitely scared and she feared, you know, for his life, you know, very fearful in this respect. So because Fir'aun used to have spies, had spies watching the children of Israel and watching their births, and her home was on the banks of the Nile River. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when she gave birth to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspired her. Allah inspired her. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ, and this is chapter 7, and we inspired the mother of Musa saying, suckle him, but when you fear for him, then cast him into the river and fear not. Fear not nor grieve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, yani, the nature of the mother. He created her and he created all the creation and he knows all about them. That's why he subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and cast him into the river and fear not, not grieve. Verily we shall bring him back to you and shall make him one of our messengers. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. فقال ولا تخافي ولا تحزني إن رادوه إليك وجعلوه من المرسلين. So when she put him on that day, and she put him in a kind of a coffin, and she tied him to the bank of the river, but then that rope apparently, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished, it was untied, and it was therefore gone in the midst of the Nile River on top, floating, and Musa was in its midst, and from the pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he should fall in the hands of the family of Fir'aun, and that's why he was brought to Imra'at Fir'aun Asiya, to Imra'at Fir'aun Asiya, to the wife of Fir'aun, whose name was Asiya. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in chapter 8, فَالْتَقَطَهُ, in verse 8, فَالْتَقَطَهُ آلُ فِرْعَوْنَ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. Then the household of Fir'aun picked him up. But look at the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They picked him up, and there is the plan, that he might become for them an enemy and a cause of grief. They will raise him, and then he will be raised and grown, and then after that he will turn to be an enemy for them and will cause them grief, because he is going to challenge them. They challenge the whole tyranny of Fir'aun and his advisors. So the news came to Fir'aun now, and so he called that he should be killed. He called so that Musa be killed. So Imra'atuhu, his wife, said, وقالت امرأة فرعون, in verse number 9, وقالت امرأة فرعون قرة عين لي ولك, and the wife of Fir'aun said, a comforter of the eye for me and for you. Kill him not, perhaps he may be of benefit to us, or we may adopt him as a son. And they perceived not the result of that. They didn't know. So that's the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through the means which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates. In this case, who? The mother, the wife of Fir'aun, convincing Fir'aun so that Musa shouldn't be killed, and that he should be a comfort of the eye for me and for you. And so this is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore through this means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. And such a way and such a a process through which the wife of Fir'aun proceeded with her husband was a good one, alhamdulillah, and which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was grateful for. And that's why this was from the reasons of guidance to the wife of Fir'aun and her belief in Musa after that. Now, as far as the mother of Musa alayha as-salam, and Musa, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her, فَإِنَّهَا فَزِعَتْ, she was scared, and as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this in the most perfect al-aniquan style by saying, وَأَصْبَحَ فُؤَادُ أُمِّ مُوسَى فَارِغًا, and the heart of the mother of Musa became empty from every thought except the thought of her son, of Musa, except the thought of her son. She was very near to disclose even, you know, because of her situation. She was, you know, her patience was about to be overcome by her concern for her son. So she was very near to disclose his case, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن كادت لتبدي به, in verse 10, إن كادت لتبدي به لولا أن ربطنا على قلبها لتكون من المؤمنين. Indeed, she was very near to disclose his case, meaning the child, her son, had we not strengthened her heart with faith, because Allah promised that he would return the son to his mother. But this is the nature of woman, and in this there is يعني الحمد لله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not pardon them for such a caring nature of the woman. She was very near to the mother, she was very near to disclose his case, had we not strengthened her heart with faith, so that she might remain as one of the believers. So that she remains as one of the believers. So, what did she say? Now she took by the means. She took now by the means. وقالت لأخته, as in the next verse, وقالت لأخته قصيه فبصرت به عن جنب وهم لا يشعرون. And she said to his, meaning to his sister, follow him, go check, see what's happening, bring me from his news, find out. So she, the sister, his sister, watched him from a far place secretly, and this is hikmah, this is wisdom, because if she would come close, they will suspect her, and this will end up causing harm on the family. They will be killed, and also perhaps Musa himself will be killed in this sense. And they were perceived not. Now at this point, Imra'at Fir'aun, Asia, the wife of Fir'aun, wanted to have Musa, you know, be fed through suckling from certain woman, from other woman who will feed him and give him milk. So she presented him to all women who were feeding children at that time, and none, you know, he was accepting none of their breasts to suckle. And he was very hungry, very thirsty, and they went out with him outside, you know, in the road, on the streets, to see if something could happen, and somehow, you know, he will be receiving some attention from someone who will, yani, take him to feed him. And so in this sense, she saw him, his sister saw him, and that about the breastfeeding, Allah says, وَحَرَّرْنَا عَلَيْهِ الْمَرَاضِعَ مِنْ قَبْلِ, and we had already forbidden other foster suckling mothers for him, until she, his sister, came up and said, you know, when they took him out to the street, and when she saw what's happening there, she came and put it in an indirect way. She said, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِ بَيْتٍ يَكْفُلُونَهُ لَكُمْ وَهُمْ لَهُ نَاصِحُونَ, should I direct you to a household who will rear him for you, take care of him, and sincerely they will look after him in a good way, in a good manner. فَلَمَّا أَقْبَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ, she expressed this indirect wish, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us then in this story how the matters were turning with Musa alayhi salam, and situations are changing, and ended up that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala returned him to his mother. فَرَدَدْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ أُمِّهِ كَيْ تَقَرَّ عَيْنُهَا وَلَا تَحْزَنْ, so did we restore him to his mother, that she might be delighted, and that she might not grieve, and that she might know that the promise of Allah is true, but most of them know not. So this, يعني the story of Musa عليه السلام continues further in the same chapter. But let us, inshallah, now take some of the benefits which are deducted from this story. First of all, the clemency of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regard to Musa, to his mother, through the inspiration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will safeguard him for her. Then the glad tidings that he brought her to her, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fear not, we will return him to you. Otherwise, the grief would have consumed her. Otherwise, the grief would have consumed her. And he returned him in this way and in this plan, and through the story of suckling and so forth, showing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is manifesting his clemency upon his friends that in no way our minds can comprehend. And also look at this situation. Here is his real mother being hired by the enemies of Musa alayhi salam openly now, not secretly, openly being hired, and she is being paid, and she is called his legal mother, from both, from the pre-decree and from the legal aspect. And therefore in this case her heart was so satisfied and comfort, and that increased her iman, alhamdulillah. And this is in manifestation of the truth in the saying of Allah, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ, so that you might not dislike something or hate something while it is good for you, while it is good for you, as in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 216. There is nothing more hated and disliked for the mother of Musa than her own son being captured by the family of Fir'aun, yet everyone knows now what were the good consequences of such happening after it took place. And then from the other benefits of Musa's story is that the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his lessons in the previous nations, only the believers benefit from that, the real benefit. Only the believers will benefit, the real benefit from these stories. Why? Because if we go to the first to verse 3 from the same surah Al-Qasas, verse 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when is telling Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the story of Musa, he says, نَتْلُوا عَلَيْكَ مِن نَبَئِ مُوسَى وَفِرْعَوْنَ بِالْحَقِّ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. We recite to you some of the news of Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun in truth, بالحق لقوم يؤمنون. هنا الشاهد, this is the evidence for a people who believe, meaning in this Quran and the oneness of Allah, the true believers. They are the ones that will benefit most from these stories and from the story of Musa alayhi salam, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something, he will set the proper causes that will lead to it and will bring it شيئا فشيئا, meaning gradually, not at once, meaning gradually, not at once. And this is evident from his plan with the story of Musa alayhi salam. And from the benefits also of this story, from the benefits that the weak ummah, despite its weakness, despite its terrible state of weakness, it should not fall into despair. It should not fall into despair, and should not also abandon working to achieve its rights or to attain its rights. Especially when the ummah being oppressed in one way or another. And this is evident when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke us about the state of Bani Israel and their state of weakness and the terrible things they have suffered at the hands of Fir'aun. And then after that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them steadfastness in the land, on earth, gave them steadfastness on the earth, and returned them to their land, meaning to the land of Yaqub. Return them to the land of Yaqub, since they are Bani Israel from the descendants of Yaqub alayhi as-salam. Now, and another thing is that an ummah that is in a state of weakness and in a state of humility will continue to be in such a state if it does not work towards reforming itself so as to re-establish its affairs correctly on the land, its worldly and its religious affairs, both of them. This is from the benefits of the story of Bani Israel with Musa alayhi salam, and from the benefits that natural fear from creation does not oppose al-Iman, does not oppose faith, and does not eliminate it. Natural fear is permitted, is permissible. Natural fear does not oppose Iman and does not eliminate it. And this is evident from the story of Musa, his mother, the case of his mother. She was afraid of what will happen to him. So this is a benefit, an important benefit. This is not the fear, that is not condoned in Islam or illegal. The other fear is to fear others thinking that they can harm or benefit in matters which Allah alone can do. That will be a type of shirk. That will be a type of shirk, and that is forbidden. But this natural fear is permitted, and it does not oppose the Iman, nor does it really eliminate it. This is from the benefit with the case of Musa and his mother. And from the story of Musa and in this in the Quran is that Iman yazidu wa yanqus. أن الإيمان يزيد وينقص, meaning that faith or Iman increases and decreases. The state of Iman could increase as well as it could decrease, and Iman increases by obedience and decreases by disobedience. Now, where is the evidence? Is in verse number 10, in verse number 10 from Surah Al-Qasas, when Allah spoke about أم موسى وأصبح فؤاد أم موسى فارغا إن كادت لتبدي به لولا أن ربطنا على قلبها لتكون من المؤمنين. ربطنا على قلبها, we strengthened her heart so that she remain as one of the believers, meaning هنا it means as الشيخ السعدي رحمه الله related, والمراد بالإيمان هنا زيادته وزيادة طمأنينته. What is meant by إيمان here, لتكون من المؤمنين, is that she, her إيمان will be strengthened, increases, and also the tranquility of it, of this Iman, will also increase. And from the benefits of this story is that from the great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the slave, تَثْبِيتُ اللَّهِ لَهُ عِنْدَ الْمُقَلْقِلَاتِ وَالْمَخَاوِفِ, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving him steadfastness at times of difficulties and at times of fear. This is from the from the benefits, that is from the great favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when his Iman increases, then he will be able to speak what is right and act accordingly, and his thoughts and his thinking will be firm. To the contrary is the one who is not in such a state, meaning he will be in a state of discomfort and of fear. His thoughts are dissipating in all directions and without a concentrating thought, and he doesn't really benefit himself in this situation. Okay, also from the story of Musa, from the story of Musa alayhi salam, that the slave of Allah, even though he believes in the pre-decree in the qada wal qadar, and they believe that the qada wal qadar is right, and that the promise of Allah and His will is going to occur, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُهْمِلُ فِعْلَ الْأَسْبَابِ الَّتِي تَنْفَعُ, then he does not really disregard taking by the means that are beneficial. Because taking by the means and working accordingly, this is from the pre-decree of Allah itself. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had promised on Musa that he will return her son to her. Despite that, after Fir'aun caught of him, she took by the means and she set her daughter, Musa's sister, to go and check and look for him. And this is, alhamdulillah, evident. This is quite evident. And go, and from the benefits is that it is permissible for the woman to go out in order to meet her needs, and it is possible for her to talk to men as long as temptations are not there, as long as there is no desire for haram. As in this case, Umm Musa have done that, and as we know also from the story, the two daughters of that man from Midian, the two daughters of that man from Midian, as we know from the story, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and when he, Musa, went towards the land of Midian, he said, it might be that my Lord guides me to the right way. And there, when he came, وَلَمَّا وَرَدَ مَاءَ مَدْيَنَا وَجَدَ عَلَيْهِ أُمَّةً مِّنَ النَّاسِ يَسْقُونَ. And when he arrived at the water, at the well of Midian, he found there a group of men watering their flocks, and beside them he found two women, who were keeping back their flocks. And he talked to them and he said, what is the matter with you? They said, we cannot water until the shepherds take their flocks, and our father is a very old man. So from this, yani, it is permissible that a woman or a man can talk to a woman in matters that are needed and do not exceed the limits in the sense that there should be no temptations or lusty desires. Also from the benefits of this story, that it is permissible to take something in return, meaning being paid for some kind of work. And this is, for example, suckling and breastfeeding. This is mashru', this is legal. Because in this case, Musa was given, you know, in return for her breastfeeding the baby. And the laws of the previous nations, شَرْعُ مَا قَبْلِنَا, the laws of the previous nations are our laws, as long as our laws did not abrogate them. As long as our laws did not abrogate them, they continue to hold as long as our laws, the Islamic laws in the final revelation, do not abrogate them. And from the story of Musa alayhi salam, we read now Let's go to verse 14 from the same Surah Al-Qasas, because we're going to have important benefits also coming then. وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ, when Musa was, he attained his full strength, and وَآتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا, and we bestowed on him prophethood and right judgment of the affairs, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and thus do we reward, yes, those and good doers. وَدَخَلَ الْمَدِينَةَ, هنا, here is the point. وَدَخَلَ الْمَدِينَةَ, the verse 15 after it. وَدَخَلَ الْمَدِينَةَ عَلَى حِينِ غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ أَهْلِهَا, and he entered the city at a time of unawareness of its people. And he found there two men fighting. One of his party, meaning from the children of Israel. One from the children of Israel. And the other of his foes, from the people who yani are with Fir'aun. The man of his own party asked him for help against his foe. فَاسْتَغَاثَهُ الَّذِي مِنْ شِيعَتِهِ عَلَى الَّذِي مِنْ عَدُوِّهِ فَوَكَزَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلَيْهِ. The man of his own party asked him for help against his foe, so Musa struck him with his fist and he was killed. And he said, Musa immediately said and recognized that this is an act that Shaitan was behind it. This is an act of Shaitan's doing. Verily he is plain misleading enemy. And therefore here Musa made istighfar, sought Allah's forgiveness, and he said, قال رب إني ظلمت نفسي, اعترف, he confessed. موسى عليه السلام confessed and he said قال رب إني ظلمت نفسي فاغفر لي, فغفر له. He said my Lord verily I have wronged myself so forgive me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave him for he is إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. And here from this there is a benefit where the Shaykh rahimahullah, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sayyid rahimahullah mentioned that killing the kafir who has a covenant, killing the kafir who has a covenant with the Muslims or entered the Muslim land through a permit or through by a tradition is impermissible to kill him. And the evidence is that Musa alayhi salam nadim for killing that Coptic and he sought forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave Musa alayhi salam. And also what did he say? قال ربي بما أنعمت علي, قال ربي بما أنعمت علي فلن أكون ظهيرا للمجرمين. He said my Lord for that with which you have favored me I will never more be a helper of the criminals, disbelievers, polytheists and sinners. Here, now the situation now repeats itself, and look at it now, and let's see what will be the deduction from this. There will be also an important benefit comes there. فَأَصْبَحَ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ خَائِفًا يَتَرَقَّبْ. Musa now was scared because of what happened. So he became afraid, looking about in the city, waiting as to what will be the result of the crime of killing that kafir, that Coptic. When behold, فإذا الذي استنصره بالأمس يستصرخه. And when behold the man who had sought his help the day before called for his help again. Musa said to him, verily you are a plain misleader. Verily you are a plain misleader. فلما أراد أن يبطش بالذي هو عدو لهما. Then when he decided to seize the man who was an enemy to both of them, the man said, O Musa, قال يا موسى, is it your intention to kill me? أتريد أن تقتلني كما قتلت نفسا بالأمس? Is it your intention to kill me as you killed a man yesterday? Your aim is nothing to become a tyrant in the land. إن تريد إلا أن تكون جبارا في الأرض وما تريد أن تكون من المصلحين. Your aim is nothing but to become a tyrant in the land and not to be one of those who do right. So from this the ulama have deducted the following important deduction, that the one who commits killing the souls unjustly, he is considered from the tyrants who spread mischief in the land. وَلَوْ كَانَ غَرَضُهُ, even if his objective or intention is from that, is وَلَوْ كَانَ غَرَضُهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْإِرْهَابِ, even if his intention from that is to frighten the others. وَلَوْ زَعَمَ أَنَّهُ مُصْلِحٌ, even though he may claim that he is a مصلح, a reformer. Until and if حتى يرد الشرع, until the Sharia brings forth ما يبيح قتل النفس, what that brings forth the evidence for killing the souls legally and justly. And these words of Sheikh bin Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah were written more than 50 years ago, and this tells you really of the status of the alim al-Rabbani, the scholars who really fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they only seek the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their knowledge and in the spreading of the truth and their advice to the ummah rahimahullah. From the benefits in that if when someone tells about another person, if someone informs about another person by way of warning as to some evil that may occur by this person, then this is not considered from the calumnies or gossip, the prohibited namima. This is not considered from namima. To the contrary, it could be wajib. It could turn to be a wajib to warn the ummah and therefore an individual that this person, you know, has certain aspects of evil. And if he cautions the people regarding that, then this is not considered as illegal calumnies, namima, or illegal gossip. But as the ulama said, قد يكون واجبا, this could be obligatory, something, you know, it's dutiful to warn. How? Where is the evidence for this? Where is the evidence? Here it is in chapter, the same chapter, the next verse, brother Abu Maryam, Jazakallah khair. The next verse, which is verse 20. The next verse, which is verse 20. وجاء رجل من أقصى المدينة يسعى قال يا موسى إن الملأ يأتمرون بك ليقتلوك فاخرج إني لك من الناصحين. And there came a man running from the farthest end of the city. He said, Musa, O Musa, verily the chiefs are taking counsel together. They are about to kill you, so try to find a route of escape. I am to you of those who give sincere advice. From the benefits here, that if a person fears for his life to be killed unjustly in a place of his residence, then he shouldn't throw himself into destruction and surrender to destruction, but contrary, he should escape from that place if he's able. He should escape. With the ability, he should go out. If he has the ability, he should leave. Where is the evidence? In the next verse, 21. So he escaped from there looking about in a state of fear. He feared for himself to be killed unjustly if he stays in his residence. So he didn't want to be killed unjustly and destroy himself unjustly and surrender to these tyrants. So he had to escape with the ability. Another point of benefit, that if a matter revolves between two evils, then it is incumbent to choose the lesser evil. If a matter revolves between two evils, then it is incumbent to choose the lesser evil. Musa, when he was in a state between either staying in Egypt and being killed, or go to some far land, even though he doesn't really know the road to it, and he doesn't have someone to lead him except the guidance from Allah, and that's hope to be safe, لا جرم آثرها موسى, then there is no harm at all that Musa chose the other one. And this is a qa'ida azima. This is a very great fiqh matter in fiqh, that one chooses the lesser of evils, because the objectives of Sharia, is to, if you cannot reform, then you try to minimize the evil. This is a very important qaida in fiqh in Islam, choosing the lesser of evils. And this is a benefit, as also to the question that you raised, the brother Abu Maryam, earlier. The one who is looking at knowledge, seeking knowledge, and when he is about to act according to one aspect of knowledge, and if he is unable to weigh one of the sayings over the other, then فَإِنَّهُ يَسْتَهْدِي رَبَّهُ, then he should seek guidance from Allah, وَيَسْأَلَهُ أَنْ يَهْدِيَهُ إِلَى الصَّوَابِ مِنَ الْقَوْلَيْنِ, and asking Allah to guide him to that which is the correct of the two sayings. After, بعد أن يقصد الحق بقلبه, after he seeks the truth in his heart, ويبحث عنه, and seeks it, and finds it, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not appoint the one whose status is this. As what has happened with Musa, when he went in the direction of Midian, didn't know the right way to reach Midian. What did he say in the verse 22 that comes next? In the verse that comes next, 22. And when he went towards the land of Midian, he didn't have anybody to guide him there, for, you know, physically show him the way, etc. Didn't know the way to, you know, that will that takes him to there. But he went in the direction of it. He said, "Asa Rabbi an yahdiyani sawa as-sabil." It may be that my Lord guides me to the right way. And Allah guided him and gave him what he hoped for and what he sought. From the benefits of the story of Musa, that mercy and being good to people, whether those people that you know or that you don't know, is from the characteristics and the moral characteristics of the prophets. And from that, goodness is the goodness of giving aid to the ladies who were taking care of their flock, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala related to us in chapter 20, in verse 23 and 24. And when he arrived at the water of Midian, he found there a group of men watering their flocks, and beside them he found two women who were keeping back their flocks. He said, "What is the matter with you?" They said, "We cannot water our flocks until the shepherds take their flocks, and our father is a very old man." So what did Musa do? What did he do? What did he do? Next verse. فسقى لهما ثم تولى إلى الظل. So he watered their flocks. He gave, you know, he had done something good. He watered their flocks for them, and then he turned back to shade and said, "My Lord, إني رب إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير." My Lord, truly I am in need of whatever good that you bestow on me. Now he is now making tawassul to Allah, seeking nearness to Allah, because of what? Because in his weak state, and in his inability to bring forth the benefits and to shun away the harm, when he said this statement, "My Lord, truly I am in need of whatever good that you bestow on me." So, in the same manner that it is permissible for a Muslim to seek nearness, closeness to Allah by Allah's names and attributes and favors, you know, the general and the particular, then Allah loves from the slave to seek nearness to him by expressing his weak state and his inability, because in this there is a humility to Allah. رب إني لما أنزلت إلي من خير فقير. And this is the reality of every slave of Allah, his need to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also, from this we know that it is from the goodness of people on earth that in them there is the etiquette of giving reward for some good. This exists in almost all nations, and especially the righteous ones, Where is this? This is in the next verse, 25. Then there came to him one of the two women walking shyly. And this also gives a benefit regarding the shyness of woman, then it is from her character to be shy. She said, "Inna abi yad'uka liyazziyaka ajra ma saqayta lana." This is the point. Verily my father calls you that he may reward you for having watered our flocks for us. So when he came to him and narrated this story, he said, "Fear you not, you have escaped from the people who are ظالمين, من القوم الظالمين. لا تخف نجوت من القوم الظالمين. You have escaped from the people, and there is comfort in this. There is comfort for Musa عليه السلام. So and there you see now, when the slave acts the action sincerely for Allah's sake, and then he gets a reward for it without intention, then he is not to be blamed for that. And this does not affect his ikhlas. This does not affect his state of ikhlas. As Musa accepted the reward from the father of these two ladies, yet he didn't ask for it. And he didn't do it in the first place for some reward in return. And from the benefits is that it's permissible to have to hire someone for a certain actions with certain benefits and for certain time. And that this relates, you know, the estimates and the measures of this relates to the urf, the tradition. As when the father of these girls said to Musa in verse 27, إني أريد أن أنكحك إحدى ابنتي هاتين. وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Where now, first of all, let's take 26. قالت إحداهما يا أبت استأجره إن خير من استأجرت القوي الأمين. And said one of them, "Oh my father, hire him. Verily the best of men for you to hire is the strong and trustworthy." And therefore in this case, you know, the reward of hiring, it could be the benefit. It couldn't be substance alone. It could be the benefit. And this benefit is, in this case, marrying him one of his daughters. When he said, in the next verse, قَالَ إِنِّي أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُنْكِحَكَ أَحْدَ بْنَتَيَّ هَاتَيْنَ And said one of them, and he said, "I intend to wed you, or one of these two daughters of mine, to you on condition that you serve me for 8 years, etc." So the conditions for hiring were set, and Musa, alhamdulillah, accepted. In their saying, there is a point of benefit, and they're saying, And they're saying, إِنَّ خَيْرَ مِنْ اسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ. Oh, my father, hire him. Verily the best of men for you to hire is the strong, the trustworthy. These two qualities in them, perfection of actions, of al-a'mal, of deeds, lies in these two qualities. Strong and trustworthy. So in all matters of hiring, in services, in industry, in agriculture, in controls, in management, all of that, if the person combines these two qualities in him, able to conduct this work, and is trustworthy, then that particular job will fruit, will give fruits, and will be beneficial. Will be beneficial. Also from the good moral character, which we learn from verse 27. Look what he said to Musa at the end of the verse. He said, وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَيْكَ سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. But I intend not to place you under a difficulty. If Allah will, you will find me one of the righteous. This is from the good etiquette and good moral characters, is to be good with people, especially those who are you going to hire, or a wife, or a son, and so forth. And from this is to lighten, you know, the burden of the work on the worker. وَمَا أُرِيدُ أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَيْكَ. I don't intend to place you under difficulty. So if someone hires one, he shouldn't, you know, try to place him under difficulty. ستجدني إن شاء الله من الصالحين. It's also permissible from the last statement that the man said, if Allah will, you will find me one of the righteous. It's also permissible in matters like these, in transactions, to try to assure the other if he is really truthful, to describe himself as being good in relationships. So that's why he said, if Allah will, you will find me one of the righteous. If this is the case, meaning if it is true, then there is no harm in expressing it. There is no harm in expressing it. And also from this, the Shaykh rahimahullah mentioned, from the benefits of this story is that it's permissible to have transactions, alhamdulillah, and contracts like hiring and so forth, without witnesses, without having witnesses, without the need for witnesses. Why? Because in the next verse 28, in the next verse 28, قال ذلك بيني وبينك. He, Musa, said, that is settled between me and you. Whichever of the two terms I fulfill, there will be no injustice to me. And here it is. Wallahu ala ma naqulu wakil. And Allah is surety over what we say. Yet we know that having these contracts, you know, between people also minimizes any disputes. And this also depends on the status quo and affairs of people. And people are different in this respect as to keeping the rights of others and so forth. Also from the story of Musa alayhi salam are the signs, the clear signs which Allah supported Musa with, like the turning of the stick into a snake. Hayyatun tas'a, as in Taha, Surah Taha, verse 20. Taha 2020. La ilaha illallah. فألقاها فإذا هي حية تسعى قال هي عصاي أتوكأ عليها and to his He said, this is my stick where I lean and wherewith I beat down branches for my sheep. I beat down, let's put that inshallah, from Taha verse 18. Let's start from Taha verse 18. Taha is chapter 20, verse 18. He said, this is my stick whereon I lean. This is one benefit for the stick which we will come on. And wherewith I beat down branches for my sheep, and wherein I find other uses. Allah then told him, cast it down. قَالَ أَلْقِهَا يَا مُوسَى. Number 19, cast it down, O Musa. And 19 and 20, فَأَلْقَاهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى. Cast it down, O Musa, فَأَلْقَاهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى. He cast it down, and behold, it was a snake moving quickly. So this is from the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in support of Musa. Not only that, but Allah in the next verse said, قَالَ خُذْهَا وَلَا تَخَفْ. Allah said, grasp it and fear not, we shall return it to its former state. We shall return it to its former state. So Allah changed it between two states. Also, the other sign is his hand. And press your right hand to your left side. وَضْمُمْ يَدَكَ إِلَى جَنَاحِكَ تَخْرُجْ بَيْضَاء. It will come forth white and shining. Without any disease, as another sign also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in helping Musa. So that we may show some of our signs, our great signs. And from his mercy and protection to Musa and Harun, from Fir'aun and his people. That the mercy and protection to Musa and Harun from his from the enemies, Fir'aun and his people, and also from the splitting of the sea when Musa struck it with his asa, with his stick. And it became 12 roads, dry ones, and all the children of Israel were saved, those who followed Musa alayhi salam. While the people of Fir'aun were drowned and destroyed. And many of the other ayat which are proofs and evidences and lessons for those who saw and witnessed them. And also for those who heard of them. Because it is where really carried and related to us through many of the books that Allah revealed. And also the generations before. And none of those signs were belied except by an arrogant, disdainful person. And so though all the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his messengers are of this caliber. All of these ayat, which change the nature of things that we see, and also all these means which also turn in different ways and different directions by either preventing their effects or making them in need of other needs or making them not manifested because of other obstacles. These are all from the clear proofs على وحدانية الله وأنه على كل شيء قدير, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the true and only true God, one and only true God, and that He is able to do all things. And that all the pre-decrees and decrees of Allah, nothing will escape it. Nothing will escape the pre-decree of Allah. And that all of these miracles and the changes does not in any way oppose or negate the causes which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had left in this coordinated universe that we have. But these are exceptions. And all the ways of Allah in the nations before us and are divided into different kinds. They are divided into different kinds, and each one is in accordance with Allah's knowledge, and each one is in accordance with Allah's wisdom, and also fitting as to the situations and to the lessons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to make happen at a particular miracle or at a particular change of order. and also from the from the lessons of this great surah, and from the lessons of the story of Musa alayhi salam, we learn that from the great punishments on a slave is that if he becomes a leader of evil, calling people to that, as well as it's from the great favors on the slave of Allah that Allah makes him a leader for good, calling others to it. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compare in the state of Fir'aun and in the state of Musa and his people. Compare the two situations. As to the Fir'aun in Al-Qasas, which we are discussing, chapter 28, verse 41 now. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. And we made them imams, leaders that call for the fire of hell. This is in verse 41. And we made them leaders inviting to the fire. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يُنصَرُونَ. And on the day of resurrection they will not be helped. They will not be helped on the day of resurrection. So this is, you know, this is the, from the greatest punishment on some people is that if they become leaders inviting people to the fire. Leaders of evil inviting others to all that is evil, which would lead to fire. And from the great favors of Allah, in contrast, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. As in, عليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته, sister Muslima, Aliyah. In chapter 21, verse 73, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. And we made them leaders inviting, guiding others by our command. 21 verse 73. And we made them leaders guiding mankind by our command. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِمْ فِعْلَ الْخَيْرَاتِ. And we revealed to them the doing of good. It's verse 73, Quran 21 verse 73. And we made them leaders guiding mankind by our command. Naam. And from the benefits of this story, is that it stands as evidence for the truth of the messengership of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since he was told of this story and others like it in the Quran in details, accurate details, yet he never attended any one of these stories, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in person. And he didn't sit with others to learn from them regarding these stories. It was only the message of Allah and his revelation. That's why in the end of this story in Surah Al-Qasas in 28:46, Brother Abu Maryam, 28:46, وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الطُّورِ وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الطُّورِ. And you Muhammad were not at the side of the tour, the mount, when we did call. وَلَكِنْ رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. Also in the same, in verse 44, وَمَا كُنْتَ بِجَانِبِ الْغَرْبِيِّ إِذْ قَضَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى الْأَمْرَ وَمَا كُنْتَ مِنَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. And you Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم were not on the western side of the mount when we made clear to Musa the commandment, and you were not among the witnesses. And then also, here Allah tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may Allah's blessings and peace be upon him, he tells him of the story of Musa and tells him of all the details of it, and tells him of all the prophets and messengers before, yet he never witnessed any of these details before. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So when Muhammad was told sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the story of Maryam, of Mary, and of Jesus, peace be upon him, wa alaykum, Indian outlaw. And also he tells him in verse 45, وَمَا كُنْتَ ثَاوِيًا فِي أَهْلِ مَدْيَنَا. And you, O Muhammad, were not a dweller among the people of Madian reciting our verses to them. We are telling you of what occurred to them. We are informing you of their situation. And this proves the messengership of Muhammad, peace be upon him. He didn't study before any scholar to learn of the stories of Musa before. Allah revealed all the details about Musa and his story to Muhammad, peace be upon him. Also from the benefits of this story, as we read from earlier, could you put those verses from Taha which you put earlier, Brother Abu Maryam, Jazakallah Khair, verses 17-18 from Taha, from chapter 20. Concerning the stick which Musa held. When Allah told him, وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى, and what is that in your right hand, O Moses? قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَكَّأُ عَلَيْهَا. This is my stick, whereon, look, he mentioned the benefits now of using the stick. This is my stick whereon I lean, this is one benefit, and wherewith I beat down branches for my sheep. Okay, and these are now specified benefits, but look, there are other benefits where he generalized them when he said, and wherein I find other uses. So this tells you of the benefit of having a stick and using it properly. And also from it we know that there is the need to be merciful to the animals and be good to them. Where we find this benefit? When he said, and wherewith I beat down branches for my sheep. So therefore, he will beat these branches for the sheep, easing the way for them to move, and also for these sheep to eat from them, to have the leaves accessible, etc. And this is from the mercy on animals and being good to them. Also from the benefits of the story of Musa, when in the same surah in Taha, Brother Abu Maryam, if you could paste verse 14, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. Verse 14, when Allah revealed to Musa, Look. Let's start by it from the beginning. If we can go, Brother Abu Maryam, to verse 9 from Surah Taha, from chapter 20. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ مُوسَى. And has there come to you the story of Moses, O Muhammad? إِذْ رَأَى نَارًا, when he saw a fire. فَقَالَ لِأَهْلِهِمْ كُثُوا. And he said to his family, wait. إِنِّي آنَسْتُ نَارًا. I have seen a fire. Perhaps I can bring you some burning brand therefrom. لَعَلِّي أَتِيكُم مِّنْهَا بِقَبَسٍ, or find some guidance at the fire. أَوْ أَجِدُ عَلَى النَّارِ هُدَى. فَلَمَّا آتَاهَا, and when he came to it, the fire, Allahu Akbar, he was called by name. Allah spoke to him directly, called him directly. He told him, O Musa, Nudiya ya Musa, Inni ana Rabbuk, verily I am your Lord, Fakhla'na alayk, so take off your shoes, Innaka bilwadi al-muqaddasi thuwa, you are in the sacred valley of Tuwa. وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ and I have chosen you. فاستمع لما يوحى. So listen to that which will be revealed to you. إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ. الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله. إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا. I am Allah. لا إله إلا أنا. None has the right to be worshipped but I, but me. So worship me. فَاعْبُدْنِي. So worship me. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. And perform salah and establish salah for my remembrance. إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ. Please try to remember verse 14, we'll go back to it. إِنَّ السَّاعَةَ آتِيَةٌ. Verily the hour is coming. أَكَادُ أُخْفِيهَا and I am almost hiding it for myself. لِتُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا تَسْعَى that every person may be rewarded for that which he strives. فَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكَ عَنْهَا مَنْ لَا يُؤْمِنُ بِهَا وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ فَتَرْدَى. Therefore let not the one who believes not therein in the day of resurrection and in paradise and in reckoning and all of that, but follows his own lust, divert you therefrom. Let them not divert you from it, lest you perish. The point of benefit here in his saying, after he said فَعْبُدْنِي, worship me, then he said وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي as in verse 14. وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي and establish the prayer for my remembrance. Meaning that the remembrance of the slave of Allah should remember Allah for the purpose for which he was created. And this is a remembrance. This is worship of Allah. Salah is remembrance. It repeats itself so many times in the day and night. And through it the people go and recite the Quran and praise Allah and invoke Him and submit themselves to Him. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Had that been this blessing which we discussed earlier from the secrets of Salah, that this is a rahmah, this is a mercy from Allah, had it not been for this mercy and this favor from Allah, then all of us would have been heedful. I mean, heedless. So Allah had created us for His remembrance, for His worship. And also remembrance helps the person to conduct the acts of worship, although it may be hard on the person, on the self. And also it will help the person to stand facing, giving da'wah and invocation to those tyrants, like the case of Musa with Fir'aun. Look in verse 33 of Surah Taha now, verse 33 and 34, كَيْ نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا. Look what Musa and his brother was saying. He asked Allah to have Fir'aun, to have his brother Harun with him. وَجَعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِي and appoint for me a helper from my family, هارون أخي, هارون Aaron, my brother. أُشْدُدْ بِهِ أَزْرِي, increase my strength with him. وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي and let him share my task of conveying Allah's message and prophethood to the Fir'aun. كَيْ also نُسَبِّحَكَ كَثِيرًا, that we may glorify you much. وَنَذْكُرَكَ كَثِيرًا and remember you much. إِنَّكَ كُنْتَ بِنَا بَصِيرًا, very you are ever a well-seer of us. And this there is evidence that the people should be with those who remember Allah. This is their friends. This is where they should be, with people who help them remember Allah. And Allah also admonished them in when He commanded them, saying, اذهب أنت وأخوك بآياتي ولا تنيا في ذكري. In the same surah, verse 42, go you and your brother with my proofs, evidences, verses, lessons, etc. And do not you both slacken. Do not slacken and become weak in my remembrance. From this story also we know the goodness of Musa to his brother Harun. He did him a good favor. Why? Because he asked Allah to choose Harun as a prophet with him. and to assist him in his task. As we earlier read, وَجْعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا, and make a point for me a helper from my family, هارون أخي, Aaron my brother, اجدد به أزري, that will strengthen me with him, وَأَشْرِكْهُ فِي أَمْرِي, and that, you know, we share the task together by conveying the message. And also, we learn from the story of Musa that eloquency and clarification of matters are assistant, or assist rather, in establishing the da'wah. That's why Musa called upon Allah to relieve him from a defect that Musa had in his tongue, which is the lisping, which is defectiveness of pronunciation or pronunciation of certain words. Here Allah assisted him to relieve him from that, meaning to make it easy for him. He didn't ask him to, you know, eliminate it altogether, but just in order to be able to relate the message. That's why he said, وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِّن لِسَانِي, and loose the knot, the defect from my tongue, meaning remove the incorrectness from my speech. And it is said that Musa was inflicted by this because of a fire, a brand of fire that, you know, was put in his mouth when he was an infant. Also from the benefits, also from the benefits of this great story of Musa, that the etiquette of addressing the kings and rulers, and in their calling them and in admonishing them, must be kindness, good words of understanding, without being harsh and without confusions. And this is applicable at all times, because through these matters, you know, the objectives may take place, may occur. That's why Allah in the same surah, brother Abu Maryam, verse 44, لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى, لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى. Allah admonished them by saying, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلًا لَيِّنًا, and speak to him mildly, لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى, perhaps he may accept admonition or fear Allah. And now we see on these rooms of ours and this text that you see, people coming in here splashing terrible words about people, naming them names and etc. And this is not da'wah to Allah. Because, you know, they mean tyrants and people in authority like this, if you come and then you speak them these ways, they're not going to listen, they're not going to accept. And also from the benefits is that whoever this by all means, it's more incumbent. If this is the way we have to deal with the likes of Fir'aun, who claimed that he is the Lord, and he is that he is Rabbukum al-A'la, I am your Lord Most High, then what about those in authority in the Muslim world? Then it's by all means more proper. But modern day politics, brother Abu Maryam, didn't leave any room for that. And unfortunately many Muslims are carried on by these political scenes in emotions, and without any consideration to the word of Allah. Now, also from the benefits, anyone who is in obedience to Allah, seeking Him in help, having firm belief in His promise, hoping for His reward, then Allah is with him, then Allah will be with him. And whoever, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him, then he shouldn't have fear at all. While, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about telling them, admonishing them, لا تخافا, لا تخافا in 46, verse 46, he told them, قال لا تخافا, fear not, إنني معكما أسمع وأرى, addressing Harun and Musa, verily I am with you, hearing and seeing, hearing and seeing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with them, hearing and seeing, and also giving help and aid. This with is the with of help and aid and victory. This is the same as in the case when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was migrating, when he migrated, he left Mecca on his way to Medina, and they were chased by the disbelievers, wanted to kill them. Okay. He in Surah At-Tawbah, in chapter 9, verse 40, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا. When he tells his companion, لَا تَحْزَنْ, don't feel sad and sorrow. In Surah At-Tawbah, verse 40, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا, Allah is with us in aid and help and victory. So he said to his companion Abu Bakr, he told him, be not sad or afraid, surely Allah is with us. Also from the benefits of this story is that the reasons that will bring forth the wrath of Allah and his punishment is limited to two qualities. These two qualities are illustrated in Surah Taha, chapter 20, verse 48, if you can put it. Chapter 20, verse 48. إنا قد أوحي إلينا أن العذاب على من كذب وتولى. Truly it has been revealed to us that the torment will be for him who, first quality, denies, and it doesn't believe in Allah and his messenger, etc., denies and turns away from the truth. These are the two qualities, you know, that will bring the wrath of Allah and his torment. Also we can see this also illustrated in Surah Al-Layl in chapter 92, yes, denial and turning away, in chapter 92 verses 15 and 16. Chapter 92, it's almost the same, 92 verses 15 to 16. Allah speaks about it, لا يصلاها إلا الأشقى الذي كذب وتولى. الذي كذب وتولى. None shall enter it save the most wretched. What? Who denies and turns away. Who denies and turns away. To the contrary now, in opposition, Allah now tells us the reasons by which we can attain his forgiveness. The reasons by which we can turn his, attain his forgiveness. This is in Taha verse 82. In Taha chapter 20 verse 82. Taha verse 82. وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. And I am of forgiving to whom? To the one who repents, first of all, repents. Secondly, وَآمَنَ, believes, وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا, and does righteous deeds. And verily I am indeed forgiving to him who repents, believes in Tawheed, and right, and do righteous good deeds, and then remains constant in doing them till his death. ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. So these are the reasons, or the means rather, that by which the slave of Allah will attain Allah's forgiveness. Number one, at-tawbah. meaning to abandon. نعم, to abandon all that which Allah dislikes from the outward and inner world of oneself, to that, abandoning it to that which Allah loves from the outward and inward actions. And such repentance wipes out all sins, major or minor. Second, al-Iman, belief, which is the firm attestation in the heart and on the tongue and in the limbs by action as to all which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about or tells about, and His Messenger as well, and which will necessitate the actions of the heart as well as the actions of the limbs. And the origin of all obedience and the greatest of it is the belief in the heart in Allah and His books and His messengers and the last day. The strength of such belief, the degree of this strength will be also in its effect, it will shun away the evil, meaning shunning away the evil and opposing it depends on how much faith is in the heart of the believer. And the third is a righteous deeds, and this righteous deeds comprises all actions, the actions of the heart from love and fear and hope and everything, and the actions of the limbs and that of the tongue. And the good deeds wipe the bad deeds. And the fourth is the continuation on constantly doing, being on faith and being on guidance and increasing that. So whoever accomplishes or completes these four states, let him then receive the glad tidings, the maghfiratillah, and the forgiving of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the all encompassing forgiveness from Allah. That's why he said Allah in this verse, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ. And this ghaffar is in the intensive, profound, from the grammatical point of view. These are from the benefits of Surah Musa alayhi salam, and there are other more benefits, but inshallah this will be sufficient. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the scholar Al-Allama Abdul Rahman Al-Sa'di rahimahullah for his great book on the stories of the prophets. Because indeed there were penetrating and very beneficial benefits from this story which we have learned, alhamdulillah. May Allah reward him. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. If there are certain questions regarding this story, then please you can take the mic or put it in text. Wa barakallahu fikum.